As you probably just heard, we are recording these meetings now, and the recordings of the meetings will be posted on the Utah, I forget the exact, but there's a
Public
website,
notice.
a notice, Utah Public Notice website, I think is what it's called. And so I just wanted to let everybody know that these meetings will be recorded and the recordings will be on the website, the state notice website. Let's see. So the preliminary action items, consider approval of agenda. Is there a motion and second for that?
I motioned it.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. It looks like Whit Hill is joining. This is not on the agenda, but it will be going forward. We've filed conflicts with the city of Spanish Fork when we first organized the district. And for each meeting now going forward, we just want to kind of check in, double check, and make sure that those conflicts that we filed are still accurate and kind of reaffirm those conflicts. So have there been any changes to what was filed or any additional conflicts that need to be disclosed?
I'm not aware of any on my part or anyone else's. They can speak for themselves, but I'm not aware of any.
Okay.
Same here.
Great, thank you. All right. So the next item, excellent items, and I think we can take them together because it doesn't look like we have any public present, is the public hearing on input for the adoption of the tentative 2025 budget for District Number One, the final budget for calendar 20 year 26 for 2026 for District Number One. And the tentative budget as the final budget for calendar year 2026 for district number two. So I will open the public hearing on those items, three items. Seeing no public present or any comment, we will close the public hearing and move on to our action items. The first action item is approval of the minutes from the October 30th meeting. Were there any changes needed to those minutes?
I didn't see any, George.
Okay. Then there's a motion to approve.
I motion to approve.
I'll second that.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And then we have the service, special service district the 2026 statement of work with Clifton Larson Allen. That wasn't in your packet. I think you received it last night. This describes CLA's scope of work for the year. Margaret, oh, I'm sorry. And Margaret is on the call this morning. Usually Shelby is in attendance, but she had a conflict. Margaret is on the call. Margaret, do you have anything you would like to discuss about the scope of work?
Sure, I can just add some commentary.
Sure.
Good morning, everyone. Again, I'm Margaret. I'm the counterpart of Shelby on the districts that we serve here. The services here are consistent to the services in 2025, so no changes in that. And in terms of our rate ranges, they are also consistent to prior year, so no change from that perspective as well. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to take that, or we would love to continue working with you, so we'll just look for an approval of that today.
I don't have any comments or changes, we are delighted to have CLA continue to provide us services. And from my reading of this compared to the one we did for 25, it seems to be almost the same thing. So it seems to be fine from my view.
All right. Can we get a motion then to approve?
I motion to approve the CLA scope of work for 2026.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Appears to be unanimous. And then, Margaret, I understand that you have some proposals, but not written proposals for the 2025 audit services. Is that
That's
correct?
correct. Shelby did reach out to three firms for an independent audit due to the district having debt. So that would be the first time. She said two of the three responded with pricing, one being HBME. They came back with a pricing of $8,500. The second auditor was Hinton Burdick, and their pricing was a little bit higher of $9,250. Shelby did want to mention that HBEE was a referral, so they do have that lower rate. We have not used them before, but she felt really comfortable with the referral. So if the price point is kind of where you're looking at, we just want to make you aware we haven't used them, but we did get referred to them, and we feel really comfortable with that referral. So.
Just for the board's information, because the district has issued debt, we need to have an audit done each year now moving forward. So this isn't an optional thing. It's just a matter of who we want to have do the audit. All things being equal, and I guess without a lot of experience with any of these, I think it would be fine to move forward with the lower proposal.
Yeah, if Margaret is comfortable with them and Shelby, I think that's the comfort that we need to be guided by is if they're comfortable with the lower bid, as one board member, I'm comfortable.
We are comfortable with proceeding with that firm if the board decides to do that. So.
Great.
And I forgot the name of the first firm.
HBME.
HBME. And that was the lower of the two.
Yep, 8,500.
Fine. Okay. And that's pretty comparable to what we see in Colorado, just for comparison purposes. So is there a motion to engage them for the 2025 audit?
I make a motion to engage HB for the 2025 audit.
There a
I'll
second?
second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. So I understand there isn't a claims listing for this
No,
meeting.
Shelby indicated there has been no payments other than the developer reimbursements.
Okay. All right. And then, so the next item is the financial statements. Did you want to go through those?
Sure. So we have the district financials as of September 30th. If you want to go down one page, really, this is the balance sheet. So the asset and liability accounts, and really your asset accounts are all cash. So all those UMB, and those are all tied to the bond issuance. But this is how they kind of get spread across each fund. So that's the assets, and then there's some total liabilities of about 14,500 as of September 30th that were sitting on the books as unpaid at that time. Then looking into your general fund, next page, you can see here we had budgeted about $10,000 in expenditures that has exceeded the budget, so that's why we are contemplating an amendment later down on the agenda. But really, in the two expenditure accounts that we're budgeted for, that's what's been filling in, and really payments on that is getting funded from a capital working capital account that was created at the time of the bond issuance, and that's earning some interest. And the next page, really not a lot. Oh, the next page, not a lot of activity, but this is the debt service fund for the district. And really, it's just at this point earning interest income. And then that transfer from other funds is just part of that bond proceeds. Those are the cash that came into the debt service fund from that issuance. Then, last but not least, is your capital projects fund. And this is really where the majority of the activity from a financial perspective has taken place. And it really is just reflecting the bond issuance that occurred this year. Again, that transfer of cash to the debt service fund, and then really just some costs associated with capital outlay and the issuance of that debt. And again, we'll have an amendment for this fund for 2025. When this was initially drafted, we had not budgeted for the issuance. So that's why you're seeing zeros on that column. Any questions? If not, I think we just need an acceptance of the financials today.
I motion for the acceptance.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And this is Paul Ritchie. I've joined it. I also approve.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Thank you. So we'll move on to the resolutions. The first one is a resolution to consider adoption of the 2025 budget. To amend the 2025 budget. I'm sorry. We just had a placeholder budget in here when we organized the districts. And so because there was activity in 2025, those numbers have increased, and that's the need for the budget amendment for 2025. Margaret, do you have anything to add?
That's correct. Yeah, we are just adjusting to the actuals. And again, we hadn't initially budgeted for that debt issuance. So this is contemplating that now.
Any questions on the budget amendment for 2025 for district number one? If not, can we get a motion to approve?
A motion to approve.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, the next item is the 2026 budget for district number one.
Yeah, I guess the only commentary I have here is there's been no changes since the last time these budgets were presented, but happy to take any questions or any feedback that's come up in between that time.
Any questions on the 2026 budget for district number one?
I don't have any issues with it.
All right, could we get a motion to approve?
I'll motion to approve.
I second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And then we still have district number two that's out there that's not active at this point. And so the budget for district number two is just all zeros, I assume. Yep. Any questions about the 2026 budget for district number two?
No questions.
All right, we get a motion to approve.
I'll motion to approve.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. All right, the next item is a resolution adopting district bylaws. And the reason that we're adopting district bylaws is to help provide some, I don't know, I guess some structure for how the district is run, some policies about how things should be done in the district. The state auditor has done some audits of districts and has recommended where they didn't have bylaws in place that they be put in place. And so we are trying to be compliant with what the state is requiring for for these districts. It's a rather lengthy document. So I don't know if everybody had the chance to review it, but I can kind of hit some highlights, and if there are any questions, we can talk about those. Under the board officers and duties, the chair presides at the meetings and also execute contracts and instruments approved by the board, as well as requisitions. Is considered the chief operating or administrative officer, I should say. The treasurer and vice chair is basically the CFO of the district and oversees the finances. But of course, we have CLA as the accountant who does all the day-to-day work with respect to those types of things and make sure that the district is in compliance with statutes and accounting policies. The district clerks are secretary, oversees the record of the proceedings of the meeting. He takes care of the district seal and attests to documents executed by the chairman. And then we have the records recording secretary duties. And we primarily, you know, we draft the minutes and keep the records, you know, on behalf of the district clerk and recording secretary. And so we take care of that and make sure that those are drafted and then posted to the website as, again, the Utah State Public Notice website as required by law. Talks about the accountant duties. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. District engineer and legal counsel. I don't think we need to go into those. Under regular meetings, I wanted to point out we recommend that you have quarterly meetings. But if the time comes for those meetings and that they're and the time isn't convenient for a quorum of the board, or if there isn't any business to conduct, we can always cancel those meetings. So tentatively, what we've suggested here, and this is just kind of based on today's meeting time and, you know, the third Thursday of each of these months, January, April, July, and October, and then November. Again, if those times and dates do not work for a quorum of the board, we can reschedule and have a special meeting as necessary. Let's see, other, it does say that the board will defend any action brought against the trustee, so the board member, and that we will provide insurance. I wanted to talk a little bit about the conflict of interest policy. We discussed that at the beginning of this meeting, and we'll do that going forward as well. In case there are any disclosures that need to be made, specifically if we're going to be entering into a transaction with one of the developers of the property, that's something that needs to be disclosed. In terms of ethics, a few things to highlight is to follow the conflict of interest policy that we just discussed. as well as open meetings laws and whistleblower protection. We don't have any employees, so that's not going to be an issue, but just put that in here as boilerplate. Let's see, anything else? I think the rest is pretty self-explanatory in terms of nepotism. And again, since we don't have employees, this isn't typically an issue, or taking gifts, things like that. It's not allowed as a member of the board. We also need to follow the procurement policy if the district is acquiring any, doing construction or acquiring any property, not real property, but personal property. But, and this is a summary of what's in the procurement policy. Travel, I don't think, is going to be an issue. These are all state statutes that govern what districts can do. We don't have any credit cards. I don't have any IT. There's a hotline to report fraud or abuse if you see any related to the district or any other governmental entity. I want you to be aware of that. We establish our fiscal year as the calendar year. And anyway, so that's a few of the highlights. Are there questions about what's in the bylaws?
I just have two quick ones. First of all, could you just send me a separate from this meeting a copy of the bylaws, these new
ones?
And also, I'd just like to have a separate phone call with you, George, so to ask a few questions clarifying conflicts. I don't anticipate we have any, but we'd like to stay out of that
sure.
arena. And the third question is, so the chair signs whenever it's available to him. That's Paul. And mm-hmm. then the vice chair and treasurer, that's Corey, signs when he's not available. I just wanted to make sure that I understood correctly that the secretary, myself, clerk secretary, can sign any document in their absence at their direction. Is that true?
Well, the way it works in Utah is that the chair needs to sign. And so I think that's how we should do it. And then you need to attest.
Okay. All right. Disagreement. I know I see that there, but all other, is that true of all of it? Same standard in Utah for all other agreements?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Paul needs to sign everything. And there's no circumstances where we can substitute another trustee for it, correct?
I guess if there was an emergency of some kind, we could, but you know, whenever possible, we need the chair to sign unless they're unable, like out of, you know, the country or incapacitated or something like that.
Oh, okay.
One more question, George. Have these bylaws changed, or are these the exact same bylaws we started with? Our reasoning for having it part of this particular meeting is because of what?
We did not adopt them originally when we organized the district, so this is actually the first time that you're seeing these.
Okay, thank you.
And George, I can just speak to that. We did. Yes. It's because the state auditor has developed a fraud risk assessment. And that essentially is just a tool to help them gauge or measure each district's internal controls. And so it's a scoring mechanism to help each district or the public be able to know, you know, how risky is an entity. And so by adopting these bylaws, it's mostly things we already have in place, but by adopting this into one document or with the administrative document, it shows them that we are, or this district is a less risky entity, if you will, under that scoring mechanism. So Hopefully that helps.
That's perfect. Thank you. So do we need a motion to adopt the bylaws?
Yes, please.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right. Now, the last item is what we call the annual administrative resolution, and it gives our office and CLA's office authorization to take care of statutorily required items that occur during the year without having to come back to the board to get permission and those kinds of just administrative kinds of things, not, major decisions or anything like that. Things like filing the annual report and the contact information, and the registration with the lieutenant governor. Again, like I said, administrative things. I did highlight numbers 4, 5, and 6, which are the training requirements. The first one is that you have to take within 1 year of being put into office the training on the auditor's website, and then each year thereafter, you also need to do the open meeting training, and the clerk secretary needs to do the governmental records. Well, it's grandma, I'm not sure what it stands for. Something Act. Anyway, it's the Open Records Act that talks about what records are available to the public, et cetera. So that's specific to you, Dave, and there's a link there to the training. And all the trustees need to do the open meeting training once a year. There is not a link on this one, but I think it's on the agenda for the meeting. I actually took that training earlier this week. It took me about 10 minutes to go through. There's a short video and then a quiz afterwards. So
Would you
it's,
mind resending that just so that's at
you bet.
top of the inbox for us? Is that the only? I know that we've referenced some of those early trainings that are supposed to have been completed, and do you want to make sure that we're compliant on that side? Is that the only one that we need to make sure is done?
Yeah, so there's an initial training that needed to take place, and then every year all the trustees need to do the open meeting training, and every year the records officer clerk secretary needs to do the open records training. So yes, I'll send an email with links to all three of those.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
And George, we send those like a certificate to you. Is that who we send those to, or to where do we need to put
Yeah.
those?
Yes, if
Okay.
you could do that, that would be greatly appreciated.
Thanks.
Okay, just taking some notes. About the oaths, just kind of reiterating who the chair, et cetera, are. Meeting notices. The anchor location is the Ritchie Group offices. We have the electronic meeting location. We've talked about the regular meeting schedule. You'll get an invite from our office for those meetings, and then again, we can, as they come closer, we can discuss whether or not we need to hold a meeting, and if we need to move a meeting and hold a special meeting.
Perfect.
The rest is pretty self-explanatory, and really was kind of covered a lot with the bylaws. But are there any questions about the annual administrative resolution?
No.
All right. If not, can we get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then just a reminder to do the training that we just talked about. There's the link, but I'll send everybody on the board another email with with all three links.
Great.
So that you have those handy.
Nate Wright.
Any other business that needs to be done or items to be brought up by the board?
No, thank you.
If not, we'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Back to that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, George and Margaret, for all your work. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
Dave, do you just want to communicate by email on when you want to meet? Or?
Yeah, I'll send you an email. It'll either be probably be, well, when your schedule permits, just not until later today or tomorrow or next week, whenever you can.
Yeah, okay, great, yeah.
I'd also like to just have a separate call with Margaret for just clarifying a few things on the budget. I think I understand, but I'll do the same thing with you, Margaret, if that's okay.
Yeah, I think she's already dropped, but.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you, George. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.